I promise you, it sounds like we're in Philadelphia with the way this crowd is reacting.
He's hit the football close, and it's recovered by the Eagles. He is going deep down the far side. It is caught and being pulled down inside the 5-yard line is Nelson Aguilar. You want the deep pass? You got it. Firing. It is complete. Touchdown. Alshon Jeffrey. Quick slant. He threw a bullseye between the 1 and the 7.
Wow, it's nice when everything works out well.
Gives it off to Gordon, and he's got nothing.
What a great tackle by Bo Allen.
Runs into the arms of Tim Jernigan, loses about 2 yards.
And the chant is defense.
Listen to the bullet. This is for the home team.
Jersey.
Listen to the cheer. This is for the Eagles. When have you ever heard this on the road?
He's got a first down. He's got four. He can't be stopped. Finally at the 4. A runaway train. A runaway train. That could be the play of the game. He goes to Smallwood, who leaps in for the touchdown. Smallwood, right up the middle, plunges into the end zone. 3-1 on the season, and alone in first place in the NFC East.
Bud Light story of the game, the home sweet road feeling for the Philadelphia Eagles in Los Angeles. Merrill and Mike excited after that 26-24 win over the Los Angeles Chargers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Eagles 360, Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, along with the Hall of Famer Brian Westbrook. And the Eagles, Brian, let's be honest, they just run the football. I mean, this is just a running team. Let's just call it what it is.
Pound the ball, hand the ball off to the running backs and allow them to go free. I love to see that. Every running back loves to see that.
And we'll get into the offense in a moment. But the Eagles coming home, 3 of their first 4 games on the road. The Eagles 3-1 atop the NFC East. And Brian, before we talk about the offense, let's just talk about the team and how much it's grown in a year's time with Doug Peterson. 3-1 last year after 4 games. This feels a lot different.
Last year it felt like they would find a way to lose the game. This year, it feels like we have a much more mature team, a team that understands where they are at as far as in the course of the season. They understand how to play to their strengths in winning football games. It takes time and maturity to understand how to win those games. They figured it out rather quickly.
We are going to talk now about the offense presented by Golden Nugget, where Philly gets engaged and the Eagles certainly engaged in a personality transformation these last 2 weeks from pass first to run a lot and run it very well using 3 backs. Brian, let's first talk about LeGarrette Blount and the rejuvenation of number 29.
Well, coming here, we wanted him to be the big back that ran hard at all times, that ran mad. And I think he's done a great job these last couple of weeks of breaking tackles, reading, and using his vision and explosion to get through holes. He's a big guy, but he ran away from a couple of defenders yesterday, stiff arm, running mad. He's running angry. And listen, every team needs that big back that can get it done. When the other teams know you're running the football and you have a big back that can run through and over people, that's going to be a plus.
136 yards on the ground for Blount, including a 68-yard dazzling run in the fourth quarter. And then he really iced the game with the drive, the 6-minute and 44-second drive. The Eagles throwing the ball a couple of times, Brian, but for the most part, turning and handing it off. Corey Clement, 3 first downs on the drive. Wendell Smallwood, a nice performance from him. Blount dominating. Brian, we're talking about a running back by committee that is working. A week ago, we sat here and wondered how would the Eagles compensate for the loss of Darren Sproles. Well, it looks like Smallwood can do some of those things in the pass game, and then the 3 backs working together in the run game.
Everybody pulling their part. Everyone competing, but also contributing to an offense that needs all these guys. You have Blount for the hard-nosed runs, and he can break big ones. You have Smallwood for the shorter runs, but he can also break a big one. He didn't get loose yesterday. Then you have Clement that just does a great job of being physical, running hard, and getting in those situations where You need these guys to push the ball down the field. Four-minute offense, when everyone knows you're going to run the football, that's important. We won those situations yesterday.
And another really important situation, the Eagles are winning this season. Third downs, they've been over 50% in three of the four games on Sunday, 56% of the time they converted in Los Angeles. Brian, whether it's been third and long or third and short, the Eagles just seem to be getting to the sticks.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Yesterday, in the last couple of weeks, you see an offense that has second and short, third and short. Now a defense has to be off balance. They have to understand, I can run the football or pass. That's a great advantage for your offense because they have to play the full width of the field and the full depth of the field as well. Now the offense has an advantage. There were third downs and three where we ran the football. There was third down and three where you used play action to suck up the defenders, the linebackers in particular, and throw over top of their head. This offense is clicking right now because they have the ability to run the ball on first and second down.
And, you know, I got to be telling you, I feel like the offense hasn't clicked all the way, that it hasn't peaked yet. The total yardage through four games is the highest since 2013, the first year of Chip Kelly. The Eagles lead the league in time of possession. Mm-hmm. Yet there's just, you know that there's more because the passing game still hasn't gotten that down the field game going.
You have to give Doug a lot of credit the way he's called the games the last couple of weeks. But you're right. Alshon seems like he's there, but he's not that explosive receiver that we think that he can be. And we know he has the potential. We're just not feeding him the ball right now. Zach Ertz still is catching a lot of balls. There's still some left from Zach Ertz. Torrey Smith needs to catch the ball a little bit better, but he's had some opportunities to make big plays down the field. So there is a lot left in this offense. We're not seeing it to its full capability, but I love to see what we're doing right now. First of all, we have to give the offensive line an awful lot of credit. They reestablished the line of scrimmage all day long the last couple of weeks. That's where the run game starts and ends.
And your view, Brian, on that unusual rotation at left guard with Stefan Wisniewski, with Chance Warmack. I don't know the situations, what dictates who plays, but it seems to be working. The continuity, Jason Peters at left tackle, Jason Kelce at center, no matter who's playing there, it's working.
Well, when Jason Peters is being his Hall of Fame self and Jason Kelce is being his Pro Bowl self, it's hard to go wrong at that left guard position. I tell you, Wisniewski has done a great job. Warmack is coming along. He's continuing to get better. And so as they move on in the season, you want to have guys that can plug and play because injuries happen. So you want to get these guys ready to play. I would stick with Wisniewski, but at the same time, Doug has been very fortunate to have two guys that can step in and contribute offensively.
And then, Brian, we haven't really talked about him, but Carson Wentz, another efficient game, no turnovers. Broke the pocket when he had to, runs a little bit here and there, never seems to be, you know, fazed by pressure. Your thoughts at the quarter pole on Carson Wentz?
You have a young quarterback that doesn't get rattled by pressure, that can use his legs to elude pressure and find open spaces to throw the football. That's a good thing. You have a young quarterback that is very, very accurate. It was some throws yesterday. He's just dropping dimes right in the bucket of the receivers so they can catch and run the football. Not a lot of young quarterbacks are doing that. The one thing I've seen him change, he's getting the ball out of his hands. He's not holding it as long. Even though there are certain situations where he does, he's just doing a much better job of being more efficient. And that's what you want from a young quarterback. Most importantly, he's not throwing the ball to the other team.
Right.
That's probably the most important thing.
And, you know, I always compare Carson to the best that I've seen, and that's Donovan.
Okay.
And in year two, Donovan had that natural ability to not turn the football over. Well, no matter what you say about Donovan, he never turned the ball over, and that's why the Eagles continue. And Carson's really coming along in that. Now, a fumble here and there in the pocket, ball security. But you're right, he's been patient in the quarterback position.
We're watching a young quarterback, a young franchise quarterback develop. It's good to see. It's exciting to see. It's exciting to watch because as he continues to get better, the offensive line seems to get better. Now the run game gets going because people are defending the pass. And guess what? The receivers look a lot better as well. And so this team, this franchise is on the quarterback's shoulders. And I think as he continues to develop, this franchise will continue to get better.
So 3-1 at the quarter pole here. The Arizona Cardinals coming to town on Sunday. And that is our discussion about the offense presented by Golden Nugget, where Philly gets engaged. We've got a lot more to get to here on Eagles 360. We'll talk about the defense, some good and some not so good. We'll also talk about a red-hot special teams unit. Jake Elliott is en fuego. But when we return to Eagles 360, we're going to break it down on the film, our All-22 look at some of the big plays in Sunday's win over the Los Angeles Chargers. We're coming right back. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Toyota. Now is your chance to vote for the Toyota Player of the Week. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Toyota Player of the Week, to Cast your vote and get a chance at a brand new Toyota.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. He catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 triple play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We welcome you back. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro along with Brian Westbrook. Eagles going to 3-1, getting the rewards of that, Brian. Doug Peterson giving the Eagles the day off on Monday and on Tuesday. Yeah. So they announced it over the PA system on the flight home, and everybody's, you know, zonked out. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Players just waking up, and they say, hey, you're off Monday and Tuesday. It was like, woo! It really means a lot, doesn't it?
Monday and Tuesday being off, not having to come to work, you allow your body to get some rest. A great feeling. That's one of those things that the coaches can do to millionaires. He's giving a couple of days off to guys that have enough money to buy whatever they want, and it means so much to them. That's really important.
What would you do in those 2 days? Would you go get ice treatments? Would you still work out? What do you do?
What you generally do, when you have the day off, you think you stay at home and sleep all day. You end up being here anyway, so you end up coming, getting treatment. You're just making sure. It's still early in the season. You want to make sure your body's in great shape. You want to take care of everything, your bumps, your bruises, get a massage, those types of things. Take your kids to school as well.
I like it. I like bumps and bruises because that's a good segue into the next conversation here. LeGarrette Blount is a bumping and bruising kind of running back, right? I mean, we saw it really, obviously, on Sunday. Yes. 68-yard run late in that game. It was a spectacular run. So now in our All-22 review presented by Community College of Philadelphia, Fran Duffy and Greg Cosell break it down.
So we start with two plays on the opening drives on either side. Let's fast forward now. Early fourth quarter, Eagles up 19-17, one of the biggest plays of the game, Greg. A 68-yard run for LeGarrette Blount, the second longest run of his career.
He had a longer one?
Well, he had a 73-yard touchdown for the Patriots back in 2013.
But I think I remember that.
A huge run here for Blount that really kind of sets the Eagles up for victory.
And, you know, the running game, a lot of people think the running game is just physical, where you line up and you block people and you create a hole. Run games have a lot of elements and dimensions to them. This is a perfect example of that. And Fran, why don't you start us off with this?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that this is going to be a run that's designated to the right, but the three defenders that the Eagles have to account for here are on the back side. And that's this little triumvirate here. Number 99, Joey Bosa. Number 20, Desmond King. And number 50, Hayes Pollard. And one of the things that I think I've seen a lot of in the league over the last couple years is what you like to call an easy release, where a receiver in a run play is going to release on a route, therefore basically blocking this defender. And that's exactly what happens. This is Nelson Aguilar right here.
Removing run support.
That's it.
You're eliminating run support.
He's
instead of blocking
flat.
Him, yep. You remove him.
That's it. He's running to the flat, and you're going to watch Desmond King. He's going to run with him out of the picture, helping create a little space here for LeGarrette Blount.
You got Ertz in motion, but he's going to come back. But again, to what Fran said, freeze it right here. Perfect. That's just what you said about Aguilar. Look at him remove King. King now is not in run support on the backside. But what you're getting is what essentially is a zone run concept, split zone. By split zone, we mean that Ertz right here works back across the formation to take care of the backside player. And that's Bosa here, as you pointed out earlier. So now what happens, though, Flo is going to the right. So even though this is not a true cutback run, it's not necessarily designed to cut back all the way, there is a cutback element, and we can play it now and get this going, and you'll see. Look at that. You see the cutback element? King is totally removed, and Blount. This is not what you necessarily expect from LeGarrette Blount, but it seems like about three times a year, he does this.
Yeah, he's able to bust one off there. And you saw that the tight end there, when he comes across the formation, Zach Ertz, he carries number 50 with him as well. So he essentially blocks two
right.
with his motion there pre-snap to block Joey Bosa.
Yeah, that was a really well-designed play. And Blunt ended up 16 for 137 and got some tough yards in the final drive as well.
Thanks very much, guys. Well, Brian, now a little known statistic that Blunt had 7+20-yard runs in 2016, last year, ranked sixth in the NFL. So while he's good at moving the chains, he is also better than a lot of people think at making big plays.
The thought coming into this season was you have a big back, you give him the ball in the first and second quarter. Now in the third and fourth quarter, nobody wants to tackle him. And we saw a great example of that yesterday. Nobody, King had a great shot on LeGarrette Blount. He didn't want to take the chance. At some point, defenders, especially D-backs, when you get to the second and third level, they're going to start making business decisions. Does it make sense for me to throw my body in front of a 260-pound man so he can run me over? They were making business decisions out there. LeGarrette Blount did a great job of stiff-arming, running people over. That's what you brought him in here for. And then he uses his speed to run away from people. That was impressive.
His speed? Who knew that he had speed?
If you watch him closely enough, you can see him getting to that, and he changes gears quickly. And, you know, he's a big guy, but you don't think he's going to have it, but he does have that speed.
Another big play. Well, that led to the Eagles. Okay, it was first and goal inside the five. Blunt didn't score, and I'm sure that his teammates will give him a little grief for that. But the Eagles still needed to put the ball in the end zone. It was a close ball game in the fourth quarter, and that led to a Wendell Smallwood carry. Great push by the offensive line. Play two of our All-22 review presented by Community College of Philadelphia. Fran and Greg, break it down. The Wendell Smallwood 3-yard touchdown dive. The Red Sea parted. Well, the Green Sea parted, and Smallwood hit pay dirt.
So we'd like to say that Wendell Smallwood touchdown came relatively quickly after that long run from LeGarrette Blount. The Eagles have a few shots at the end zone, unable to get it in, but after a penalty by the L.A. Chargers, they've got another shot here. It's third and short, and they get some great blocking up front by this Eagles offensive line for Wendell Smallwood.
We're getting a little nervous that they might not score. A lot of plays seem to go by.
No question.
This at its core is a zone run, but it's really what we call duo because there's two double teams on the defensive tackle. So I call it duo anyway. It's a term that a lot of people use, but it's really a zone run at heart. And if you look right here with Peters and Wisniewski, that one is really critical. And if we run this a little bit after we clear it off here, you'll see exactly why, Fran, because what you see here is Brett Celek unfortunately gets beaten right there. You can see Bosa gets his head inside. And if it wasn't for this double team right here, I mean, look at that. Look at Wisniewski and Peters. They are driving back the defensive tackle right into the lap of the linebacker. Linebacker has no chance to do anything because of the double team on the D tackle. So Bosa can't really make a play, so Smallwood is able to get in the end zone. Really well, two well-executed double teams there.
Yeah, on the front side, you had Brandon Brooks and Jason Kelce
yeah.
moving that defensive tackle out of the way as well. Really helped widen the lane there for Wendell Smallwood. A huge touchdown that helped seal this victory for the Eagles.
All right, guys, thank you very much. Brian, it's very clear that there has been some sort of a decision to really trust the offensive line, run the football. Although, let's be honest, the Giants had been run on. The Chargers have been giving up a lot of yards. I guess the real test is, does Doug and Frank Reich, do they stick with this run to set up the pass for the rest of the season here?
Well, you've seen how much success you've had with the run game. And this is not against six-man, seven-man boxes. These are against eight-man boxes. Your offensive line is still doing a great job of reestablishing the line of scrimmage and getting up to that second level. Now the running backs are not getting contacted to 3, 4, 5 yards down the field, making the first guy miss. Now you have an explosive run game. You're right. The question is always going to be in the West Coast system, do you get away from the run to favor the pass? I think with all the success we've had the last couple of weeks, Doug has to understand if you want to win football games, protect your quarterback, protect your defense, you have to be committed to the run.
Good stuff. The Eagles offense clearly has picked it up. And this is actually a very interesting stat. Let me get this stat for you, Brian. In the last 8 games here, the Eagles have scored 20-plus points. That's the longest active streak in the NFL. 8 straight games with 20 or more points. Now, we think that's not that impressive in this score-a-lot-of-points era, but there you go.
What it is, it's efficient offense, great quarterback plays, not turning the ball over very Also, you have a defense getting you the ball back. That's important. Just as important as any offense that you can have, you got a defense that are getting stops, three and outs, getting off the field on third down, and then getting the ball back to your offense. That's just as important.
Interesting that you mentioned the defense, because when we return to Eagles 360, we're going to talk about the defense that started things off the right way on Sunday and the special teams, which stay red hot. The Eagles getting it done in all three phases. That's why this team is 3-1. We'll talk about it when we return to Eagles 360 in just one moment. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Santander. Simply write checking from Santander Bank, the checking account that's convenient and gives you more control. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Visit one of our branches or santanderbank.com/simple to learn more and sign up today.
Hi, it's Pete from Chickie and Pete's, where we really love food. Try one of our signature starters, from wings to nachos with either crab or buffalo chicken steak. Our ultra-thin, hand-tossed pizzas with our homemade marinara sauce are unbelievable. And of course, we're best known for our seafood. Crab seasoned the Chickie and Pete's way to amazing mussels and clams cooked to order. For great food and drink on your next night out, it's got to be Chickie's and Pete's.
A hero to me is somebody that acts without hesitation.
Helps someone in need, helps a community in need.
Do what is right, whether somebody's watching or not.
Somebody selflessly doing something for others.
That's what a real life hero is.
Somebody that lives their life
trying to help somebody.
Ordinary people.
Willing to answer the cry.
Anybody who can show signs of courage. Really anybody.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Since 1904, Philly's top sandwich pros and homemakers have always started the exact same way, with those legendary rolls baked fresh daily. Want to make the very best sandwiches? Always start with the very best sandwich rolls. Amorosos.
Why Philly sandwiches are world famous at your favorite supermarkets and food stores.
We are back. Dave and Brian, our final segment here on Eagles 360 on this Monday. And the Eagles defense, Brian, they started it the right way. Now, it was not a perfect game on Sunday against the Chargers. A lot of X plays allowed. But one thing the Eagles are doing well this year, they're forcing takeaways and they're turning those takeaways into points. The Eagles ranking fifth in the league in takeaways and then turning those into points. Chris Long with the big play, the strip sack of Phillip Rivers. Brian, first let's talk about the loss of Fletcher Cox and how the Eagles compensated.
Well, I think Bo Allen stepped up big. I mean, he's a big guy right there in the middle of the defense. He stepped up big. He didn't allow that run game to get established. But Timmy Jernigan stepped up even bigger. He's a big man in the middle of that football field. And when you have guys like that in the middle, it's going to be hard to run the ball against them. And then you got guys on the outside getting to the quarterback. Chris Long hustling, getting blocked up at the beginning of the play, but hustling, continue to never give up that motor. That's what he's known for. He gets a strip sack. That's huge.
So in the last 2 weeks, the Eagles have played and dominated the running games of the Giants and the Chargers. Yeah. However, they have given up a lot of X plays down the field. Why is that happening? What does Jim Schwartz do to stop it?
Well, you have young players on the back end. You have two young cornerbacks, a rookie and then a second-year guy that just need time to continue to develop. You also have safeties that are very, very aggressive. McLeod as well as Jenkins, they want to be close to that line of scrimmage. They want to be up there. They have to work on their communication and being able to get back to the middle of the field. That's what happened on one of those big plays. They weren't able to get back to the middle of the field. Yeah. But we need our cornerbacks to continue to learn, continue to get better. And as these guys continue to mature, I think they'll be much better together as a unit. Here's the other thing. Keenan Allen is tough. He's a tough handle. He beats up a lot of guys. And Williams is big and fast. He beats up a lot of guys as well.
I think it's interesting that this week the profile of the Arizona Cardinals is the same. No David Johnson. No. Running game that's struggling. But, boy, they can throw the football with Fitzgerald and with Brown, the Browns. and Carson Palmer still getting it done. Another very similar kind of challenge.
Well, the key this week, just like almost every week, you have Carson Palmer, you know where he's going to be at. He's going to be 7 yards behind the center. He's not going to move too much. We have to make sure our defensive ends and defensive tackles get after him. I'm not sure how much Jim Schwartz is going to be able to blitz, but I'll tell you what, if we're able to get after Carson Palmer and make him throw the ball to us, which he will, then we'll be having a good day.
On special teams, Brian, we saw Kenyon Barner as the punt returner, 5 yard average on his returns. Your thoughts on him and what he will offer in the big picture?
I've always thought that Kenyon Barner is a special player. I've always thought that. I've never thought that he's gotten an opportunity to play in the way that I thought he should. He has wiggle. He's quick. He can break the long one, and he's sure-handed as far as the punt game goes. I think he's a great addition. Of course, you're always going to miss Darren Sproles, but I think Kenyon Barner can help this football team as far as field position goes. You're not always going to win games in offense and defense. You need your special team to contribute. I think he can help us out.
The Eagles were 2 of 4 in the red zone on Sunday. They struggled when they got across the 30-yard line of the Chargers, and then they turned to Jake Elliott.
Yeah.
4 field goals. He's made 6 in a row. The average of those 6 field goals, nearly 48 yards. Brian, the Eagles have themselves a young kicker drafted, so he's got talent who's in a groove. I mean, that's big. That's huge.
You have a weapon. Anytime you go into the game as a play caller and you're saying, hey, if we can get to this yard line, we know we have an automatic 3 points. That's a weapon for you offensively because you don't have to be as aggressive as a play caller. Jake Elliott has done a great job of making sure that anytime he goes out there, you have one job to do. Put the ball between the uprights, and he's done a great job.
Yeah, so the Eagles, he also was great on his kickoffs, put all 7 of his kickoffs into the end zone for touchbacks. Eagles special teams doing a really fine job, quietly in some parts, but with Elliott loudly saying, we are the best in the National Football League once again. So that's our look at the win over the Los Angeles Chargers. Let's get you caught up on what's coming your way on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and our official app. It's our Amoroso's On the Menu segment. On Tuesday, Doug Peterson in studio with me. We'll talk about the win over the Chargers and look ahead to a return home, which will feel so good for the Eagles on Sunday when the Cardinals come to town. Glenn Macnow and his takeaways from the 26-24 victory. And we're going to do a little film breakdown.
Nice.
All right? We'll break this thing down with Frank Reich, Eagles offensive coordinator. Brian, I guess I got to say, I think the team has matured a lot.
It has.
I do, as an Eagles guy, and Eagles fan for life, worry about the letdown moment here. Coming back home against the Cardinals, should I be justified in my concern?
Well, they have a lot of veterans on this football team. Jason Peters, Malcolm Jenkins, Brandon Graham. They have a lot of guys that can lead this football team. You have a hungry young core, Zach Ertz, as well as Carson Wentz, guys that want to go out there and prove themselves in this league. Doug Peterson is a hungry young coach. He has to make sure that this team, it's his job to make sure this team is ready to play, especially in front of our home fans. I think Doug does a great job of making sure guys are ready. They're prepared. They're focused in on winning a football game.
All right. Well, we've got a big one on Sunday. We thank you for joining us here on Eagles 360. Brian Westbrook, Dave Spadaro. I'm back tomorrow with Glenn Macnow. In the meantime, have yourselves a great Eagles day.